It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Farron Stoth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Farron is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Farron cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Farron Stoth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Farron. Today, I'm going to give some thoughts on the current election, because voting has already started in some states. But before I get to that, I need to share some current economic news I think that everyone listening will find very valuable. First of all, consumer spending has been the lone bright spot in the economy for the last couple of years. We've discussed this on the show many times, that many parts of the economy have been showing recession for as long as the past 2 years, yet consumer spending, again, has been the one area that has remained strong. That is what's basically kept us out of a recession. Also, consumer spending is about two-thirds of GDP, so it's a very big deal and something that needs to be paid attention to very closely for anyone that's an investor or is concerned about the economy or making financial decisions or planning for the future, for that matter. So the U.S. Consumer Confidence Index is something that's watched very closely and is extremely important. Consumer confidence, when they're feeling good about the economy and their personal financial situation, they tend to spend more. Or if they're struggling or concerned, they're going to spend less. The U.S. Consumer Confidence Index in 2024 has been declining at the steepest rate since the pandemic and approximately a similar speed as what we saw in the Great Recession. In fact, it is at its lowest levels we've seen since we were experiencing 9% plus inflation. The main concerns Americans expressed was the job markets, fewer working hours, fewer openings. Consumers feel like we are in a recession. And I saw an interesting article from Business Insider that really discussed this whole idea of consumer spending that's been primarily driven by the boomer generation. They by far have the most assets, the most spending power, and therefore have the largest impact on overall consumer spending. The vast majority of the baby boomers' wealth is tied up in stocks and real estate. And what this Business Insider article was discussing is, if we see a softening of either the stock or real estate markets, that could very well trigger a recession. There are a lot of indicators showing a weakness in consumer spending. If the baby boomer generation, which has been the strongest spenders so far throughout this last few years, if they start slowing down because they feel their wealth is diminishing, or they're concerned about the future, that would be the last straw to drop. Another key indicator is called the Richmond Fed Manufacturing Employment Index. This measures overall manufacturing employment. This index has been contracting for the last 2 years pretty darn consistently and is now at the lowest levels we've seen since the Great Recession. It is dropping rapidly, and if it continues, could potentially even go below those numbers. The manufacturing industry, from all indications, appears to already be in a severe recession. So the question really comes down to is, can we have a soft landing that the Federal Reserve keeps referring to if the manufacturing sector is some of the lowest and worst levels we've seen since the Great Recession? And another interesting point is interest rate futures are pricing in a recession while the Fed says they've likely avoided one. In fact, interest rate futures are now pricing in 8 Federal Reserve rate cuts over the next 12 months, which would be the most, again, since the 2008 Great Recession. We're going to see who is right. Is the futures markets correct, or is the Federal Reserve telling us the truth? Personally, I tend to lean towards the interest rate futures market because that's people literally putting their money on the line, betting one way or the other. They're putting their money behind 8 federal rate cuts. And remember, until this recent rate cut of 0.5 percentage point, Previous to that, the Federal Reserve has never, ever in history had a 0.5% rate cut or larger without a crisis situation or a recession. So my opinion is their credibility is a little thin, especially given the mistakes they made by keeping interest rates too low for too long and obviously creating an asset bubble, particularly in the stock and real estate markets. They themselves even agreed later that they waited too long. Them saying that they're doing this 0.5% rate cut and there's no reason for concern, frankly, the markets are very dubious of that, as am I. And history really just tells us that we got a rough ride ahead of us. There's a lot of volatility that's coming for the equity markets in particular for the next year or so. And the same exact trend in terms of interest rate cuts is happening globally. Global central banks have implemented 28 rate cuts just in the third quarter of 2024, which again is the most since the Great Recession or the COVID shutdowns. All the major central banks are cutting rates, even as inflation risks are clearly still present and material. That's the real concern I have. Inflation is still higher than the Fed's target rate of 2%. And if you go back in history to the 1970s, as a perfect example of this, the country dealt with horrendous inflation throughout the decade, but it did ebb and flow throughout that period of time. And if you look at the history, what happened is as inflation went up, the Federal Reserve increased rates to curb inflation. And then inflation predictably would start to slow down. And each time the Federal Reserve felt like they started to get a handle on inflation, they would then start lowering rates. Well, this happened three or four times throughout the decade of the 1970s. What happened each time is inflation then reared its ugly head and came back. In other words, they had not put the fire out completely. If you remember the Smokey the Bear ads, they always say put the fire out completely out. If you have a campfire and you leave some embers or some hot coals, something can spark that, create a fire again. You thought it might have been out, but it wasn't, and it comes back. And inflation kind of works the same way. It has to be out, dead out, like Smokey the Bear always says. Federal Reserve didn't do that throughout most of the 70s until the late 70s, very early 80s, when Paul Volcker became chairman of the Federal Reserve and increased the federal funds rate to literally 20%. And that did kill inflation dead. It caused tremendous economic hardship and challenges for many people, but it did kill inflation. And I'm afraid the Federal Reserve may be repeating the mistakes that we saw in the 70s. And not only the Federal Reserve, but the central banks of the world, they're starting to lower interest rates prematurely. See, it's politically popular to lower rates. It's more difficult to raise them. And that's what it causes. That's why they tend to be slow to raise interest rates. Just look at history. Even the last couple of years is a great example where they were late to the party. And they tend to drop rates prematurely. Then inflation rears its ugly head again until it's finally out, where they're forced to really raise rates and leave them there high enough to kill inflation dead. And that's why Bloomberg's chief economist has recently come out and stated that they believe there's a 70% chance of recession within the year. And they cite primarily the unemployment numbers, the weakening labor market is one of the primary reasons. This also brings up another question about Warren Buffett. Many people are sharing how he is acting much like he did prior to the dot-com bubble and prior to the Great Recession, where he sold far more stocks than he purchased. Warren Buffett in the last seven quarters has sold more stock than he's purchased. The previous quarter was the largest amount of stock he has ever sold in his career. His actions are speaking far louder than people's words, in my opinion. Warren Buffett is known as, by many people, as the greatest investor of all time. It's worth paying attention to what he's doing, not what other people are saying. As we're in the most unusual or least traditional markets of all time, we have the stock market still rising, like a soft landing has already happened. Yet gold is rising like we're in a major economic crisis. Bonds are falling like the Fed is done cutting interest rates. Real estate prices are rising like rate cuts just started. Oil prices are falling like demand is disappearing, which would lead one to think recession. And natural gas is rising like demand is growing. Nothing really adds up. All these major macroeconomic trends with the prices of these different assets, whether it's stock, gold, bonds, real estate, oil, or natural gas, are in contradiction to each other. Three are saying recession, and three are saying growth is ahead. I believe, if you have to ask my opinion, this leads to major volatility and uncertainty because no one really knows what's going to happen. And as I have been saying for a while now, proceed with caution. Diversify. Reduce your overall market risk. Protect some of your assets. Insured, guaranteed, tax-free. Folks, taxes are going up in 2 years if Congress does nothing. That's the law in the books. The current tax rates, the brackets that we're in, will revert back to 2016 levels, which is higher for most everyone, if Congress does nothing, which is the most likely scenario. Certainly, if we have a divided government, nothing's going to happen. Therefore, the tax rates will increase for nearly everyone. And as I've been sharing with so many people, let's say, for example, rates did go up. Well, let's assume, for example, that Trump won the presidency, the Republicans got the House and the Senate, and the RINOs got on board with extending the current tax rates, or the Trump tax cuts, as they like to call them. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean taxes are going down. It just means that they're not going to go up.
Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe, and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Concerned about market risk? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank show. Diversification is one of the best ways to offset risk. Your Personal Bank is not affected by the stock or real estate markets. It is an uncorrelated asset that provides true diversification. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to contact me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you'll reach me, yourpersonalbank.com. Now, one of the things that a lot of people do not realize is the current tax brackets that we're under are set to expire in 2 years, in 2026, if Congress does nothing. The current tax rules, or what's known as the Trump tax cuts, are set to expire in 2026. The only way that these lower tax brackets that we're currently under will extend is if Trump wins the White House and the Republicans win both the House and Senate, and the RINOs get on board, and they extend the current tax rates. Now, there's no guarantee any of that's going to happen. And even if it did, it just means tax rates will stay the same as where they're at. So the most likely scenario, the law in the books currently, is taxes are going to be going up. The tax brackets are going to revert back to 2016 levels, which are higher for nearly everyone. This impacts income tax and capital gains tax. So if you have an asset subject to income or capital gains, and you are considering selling it at some point in the next few years, when do you want to sell that asset? When taxes are lower, or when they're likely higher in a couple of years? And if your capital gain or your income tax realization is large enough, you may want to split that up over a couple of years, which means you just have the remainder of this year to take advantage and next year, and that's it. For example, capital gains, long-term capital gains tax rates will be going up from the current rate of 15% to 20%.
Well, that's a 25% increase on the tax, isn't it? So if you have an asset subject to capital gains, that would be typically things like stocks or real estate, and you're considering selling them in the next few years, I would suggest looking into doing it now. Also, if you're file joint married, for example, and your gross income is under about $120,000 per year, you could be in the 0% capital gains rate. Therefore, you could sell some of those assets up to a certain limit for zero capital gain. Again, that only applies for 2024 and 2025. If you have some of those assets, I recommend you contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I'll share with you how much you could sell this year and next year at potentially a zero capital gains rate. That will likely disappear, that ability, in 2 years. And let's use a worst case scenario, or a best case scenario, actually. Let's say for whatever reason, the current tax laws do get extended. Well, it's not like they're going down. In other words, they're just not going to go up. So if you sold now, and that all did happen a couple of years from now, where they extended the current tax laws, it's not like you're going to save any more money now than you would have then, or then versus now. So take advantage of the tax laws, the lower taxes now, while they still exist, this year and next year. It may benefit you to split the sale of certain assets between this and next year, so you can take advantage of both years' lower rates. Again, much of this is dependent on income, whether it's the 0% capital gains rate or the 15% longer-term capital gains rate for higher income, or even the income tax. If you have assets like accounts that have earned interest, annuities, IRAs, 401ks, those types of accounts that have income tax consequences, it may make sense to withdraw some of that this year at the lower tax rates while they still exist. Again, to determine that, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I'll help you determine how much you could benefit from this. And oftentimes, the tax savings can be as much as half. So this is significant, folks, and very smart being strategic about your tax liability, rather being proactive rather than reactive. Look, if you don't have a plan, I assure you the IRS has one for you, right? And which one is typically more beneficial to you? Typically your plan. So planning ahead, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure here when it comes to taxes. That's for sure. Now, it's official. We have been officially effed over again because every single Democrat has voted for a continuing resolution that the supposedly, quote-unquote, Republican Speaker Johnson brought up. He's a rhino, which means he's not a Republican. And about two-thirds, about 60% of the Republicans voted for it too. Continues the spending level of the federal government at the same levels that Nancy Pelosi's Congress was spending. We just keep continuing spending over excess spending at these much higher levels than revenues received by the government. And we just keep doing what's called continuing resolutions, which in essence continues the same level of spending that's been going on. There's no reductions of spending, just keeps maintaining at these significantly higher levels that happened after COVID. In fact, they did add some additional spending for the Secret Service. So they actually spent more, a couple hundred million more, I believe. Bottom line is 82 Republicans voted against it out of 435 representatives. Those are your fiscal conservatives or fiscally responsible representatives and looking out for the citizens of the United States. The remainders, the 341 out of 435, are reckless spenders and are not looking out for their constituents, the citizens of this country. Those are the people that need to be replaced in this upcoming election, or at least the majority of them. Hopefully, I hope and pray that happens. Now, in the last 3.5 years, car insurance is up 55%, hotels 50%, gas 46%, fuel oil 43%, transportation 32%, electricity 30%, baby food 30%, rents up 22%, and groceries are up 21%, airfare is up 21%. All this is due to inflation,
and excess government spending that has happened under the Biden-Harris administration. Why in the world would anyone vote for more of this? That is one of those questions that, frankly, I do not understand for any fiscally responsible person, for anyone who pays taxes. Why on earth would they vote for more of this? If you're on the receiving end of receiving benefits from the government, which means your money goes not as far, and your benefits aren't as valuable as they were. In fact, in some cases, half as valuable as they were just 3.5 years ago. Also, another thing to think about regarding the Biden-Harris administration. Remember, they drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is a risk to national security, and now they're going to leave office without refilling it at all. So they dropped the Strategic Reserve in half. They've been releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help lower overall gas prices. Of course, that's supposed to be for a national emergency. It's a national security issue, yet they're using it for political gain. Never forget that. The Biden-Harris administration also offers $400,000 of free college tuition per illegal immigrant, Dreamers. That is paid for by the U.S. American taxpayer. In fact, a family of four in New York can now get over $20,000 a month in freebies, $500 a night in a hotel, $130 a day for food. Two kids in public school cost taxpayers $5,000 per month to pay for their education. Mayor Adams in New York City gave them $1,000 cash gift cards, free health care at ERs, free phones, free lawyers. And at the same time, U.S. citizens get to pay roughly $1,700 a month to live in something not much more than a closet. That is what the Biden-Harris administration's priorities are. This real estate investor who owns an Airbnb property was posting an offer from his local government to pay him $10,000 a month to rent his Airbnb property to illegal aliens. Now, he's considering the deal because this would actually give him four times his usual income versus renting it long term. What does this do? Well, our tax dollars are being used by the federal government that drives up rental prices for everyone else, every average American, and is being spent on illegal aliens, or in other words, people that don't belong here. Mayor of Portland, Maine, I love this one. His response was the cost of rent and real estate and property taxes going up because of housing illegals has become so costly. His recommendation was seniors should consider a reverse mortgage to cover their property taxes. That's their solution. So again, why would you vote Democrat? Why would you vote for Harris or anyone else on the ticket when you see what they've done in the last 3.5 years economically and what their responses are? The IRS-affiliated union has endorsed Kamala Harris, and they celebrated the endorsement. Now, first of all, I don't know why the IRS has a union. They're public employees. They're supposed to be public servants. That's wrong in itself. But to be endorsed by the IRS-affiliated union? Look, if you love taxes and you love the IRS, vote Kamala Harris and the Democrats, because that's what the IRS union is doing. I understand. Most people have probably already made up their mind on this election, on who they're going to vote for or which side. I've seen estimates of 90% are set in their decision, so there's only about 10% left that are undecided. But that 10% is enough to make the difference. I'm not ready to give up on this country. Are you? You need to talk to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. Let them understand the significance of what's going on and which direction this country is headed. I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned in the next segment because I have a few more things regarding this upcoming election that I think you'll find very valuable.
This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to 1. Grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. 2. Double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. 3. A 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to contact me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. That's yourpersonalbank.com. A lot of people have mentioned their concern about Kamala Harris in terms of what she says she's going to do versus what she has stood for in the past. I'm talking about the recent past, just even a few years ago, supporting BLM rioters. Now she's for the police. She's on video chanting with a group, "Note down with deportations." She's the border czar, but now she says she'll build a wall. There's all these types of examples. So many people who don't pay attention to politics that closely don't really know where she comes from or where she's at or what she's going to do. And sometimes the best way to determine a candidate, what they're going to do, is look at the company that they keep. In other words, who is supporting them? Because remember, you're not voting just for Trump or Harris. You're voting for the 5,000 or so federal government employees that's going to head every department of this country, from the FBI to the Treasury Department to the military, you name it, the border. You're also voting for what type of Supreme Court justices will likely be nominated. So there's far more to this than just the president. And so it's important to understand the company that each of these candidates keep, who's supporting them, and who's against them also, will tell you a lot about what they're likely going to do. Well, the Harris campaign recently flew in Ukrainian President Zelensky, who basically campaigned for Kamala in Pennsylvania, and disrespected American voters, attacked Trump, and this is in clear election violation. It's a foreign leader. That's foreign influence of an election, direct and obvious. And on top of this, the person, Zelensky, is not a democracy. In fact, he canceled his own country's elections, and his term expired 6 months ago. Is that a democracy? Is that a representative republic? No, that's a dictatorship. So Zelensky is a dictator, a strong man, whatever you want to call him, and he supports, obviously and very actively, Kamala Harris. Now, it's fairly obvious why. If you look at the list of the American taxpayer funds that have been sent to Ukraine since the start of that conflict, it's over $223 billion. We have been sending money to them literally just about every month since the conflict started. And remember, folks, these are the funds that we're publicly aware of. What else has been sent to Ukraine and Zelensky? We don't know. Why is all this money going to Ukraine? It's been famous for being one of the most corrupt countries in the world. There is documented evidence of money laundering, election interference, nearly every kind of crime you can think of, yet a majority of our representatives vote continually to send more money to Ukraine. Why? You have to ask yourself the question, follow the money. Harris' campaign has been very adamant about continuing that war, that frankly, I don't see any strategic interest for the United States, in my opinion. Even Dick Cheney
a well-known warmonger by both sides is supporting Kamala Harris. That should tell you something right there. Why would he be doing that? The Democrats vilified Dick Cheney when he was vice president as being one of the most evil warmonger vice presidents in history. And frankly, in a lot of ways, they were right. But now that he's supporting Kamala, they happily accepted and rejoiced in his endorsement. Why? Just shows you that all this race and all this other stuff is totally BS. What's important is making sure the military-industrial complex gets their money, and frankly, the money laundering operation continue, because some of that money ends up back in the pockets and campaign contributions, etc. It was proven by our own federal investigators, special investigators, the Biden family received $23 million from foreign sources, including Ukraine. For what? They don't have a business. They don't offer a product or service. So what could it be? The only thing they could offer was influence. Keep in mind, who's supporting who? Interestingly, a former Democrat, synonymous with the Democrat Party, RFK Jr., a Kennedy of all things, supporting Trump. He's not a Republican. He states that openly. He's registered independent because the Democrat Party would not let him run a campaign against Biden, a primary, which is undemocratic. So he ran as an independent, but now supporting Trump. When a former Kennedy supports a Republican, you have to ask yourself why. You have Tulsi Gabbard, former co-chair of the Democratic National Committee. That's one of the highest up positions a legislator can have in their party. Now supports openly Donald Trump. Why? She's anti-war. She's a military person. She's had three tours, I believe, and is against unnecessary wars. She sees the fraud, the unnecessariness of it. This election is coming down to some very obvious and stark differences. Most of my lifetime, many people would complain that the presidential candidates, Republican or Democrat, were not all that different. It was a situation of voting for the lesser of two evils, oftentimes. For many people like myself who are fiscally responsible, which, by the way, is most people, because if you're not, you can't live in society effectively if you're not for long periods of time. So I find it interesting. People live one way, most people, yet some of them vote another. We don't have that problem this time. There's never been in my lifetime a bigger contrast between the candidates. One very clearly wants to continue the war in Ukraine. The other wants to stop it, has a history of starting no new wars. Trump often doesn't get enough credit for that, but give credit where it's due. Like him, hate him, whatever, it doesn't matter. He didn't start any new wars, and that's the only president in my adult lifetime that's done that. That's a fact. Deserves credit for that. Again, I don't care if you like him personally or not, and I'm in that boat where I have not liked him personally very much myself. But give credit where credit is due. During his administration, he had the lowest immigration numbers, certainly in modern history. The opposite has occurred under the Biden-Harris administration, where we've had the largest numbers of illegal aliens crossing our border in the country's history. The vast majority of these people are unvetted. We have no idea who they are. Granted, most of them are good people, but some are not. And if you have the government estimates of 10 to 12 million known, with 100 at least known terrorists, this is according to the government. Why do we as Americans even stand for that? Our government has allowed over 100 known terrorists into our country. This is what they admit to, and yet do nothing about it, and we just stand by and would want to reward the person who is in charge of it. The media has made a huge deal out of the being border czar or not. There's documentation and video documents of both Biden stating he was appointing her as a border czar and Kamala Harris accepting it as being the border czar. Remember, it was always the Biden-Harris administration. Kamala always wanted to be included in that as part of it. She never stood up publicly against Biden's policies, so therefore she was for it. We're now seeing illegal alien gangs, Venezuelan gangs, taking over apartment complexes in various towns around the country. This is just the beginning, folks. Do we really want more of this? Do we want to allow more open borders? Do we want to have another 4 years of probably at least 10 to 20 million more illegal aliens coming in, unvetted? You won't recognize this country in most parts of it. Many cities and small towns will be decimated. Is that really what you want? Why would you reward that? The fact of the matter is, just that situation alone, the open border, should be enough for Kamala Harris to be destroyed electorally. Trump should win 49 states. It should be like a Reagan 1984 landslide. The fact that it's not is what's shocking. Why would anyone, except for a drug dealer or gang member or somebody who's benefiting from that, want this? Everyone else should be against it. This should be like a 95-5 issue. It's shocking that it's not. Sometimes you see people that were for it that then turn against it because something happens to them personally, like they get mugged or they get their car stolen, and suddenly they become against illegal immigration. See, the old saying is, it's a recession when your neighbor loses their job, but it's a depression when you lose yours. Can we have a little more foresight than that? See what's going on with some. These are our fellow Americans, people in Aurora, Colorado, Columbus, Ohio. Forget the cats thing and all that. The fact of the matter is 20,000 Haitians were dumped into a city of 50 or 60,000. That will destroy any city. They don't have the facilities to handle it, the infrastructure, none of it. You want to see that happen to your city, your town, your neighborhood? Elect Kamala Harris, and that could happen. I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned in the last segment. I got a few more thoughts on this election coming up, because again, people are starting to vote now, and they need to seriously consider their vote.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including your personal bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Economic freedom is freedom, and our freedoms are under attack. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. In this time of uncertainty, can you grow your money safely, reduce taxes, and ensure you don't run out of money in retirement? Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, insured and tax-free. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you'll reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. So near and dear to my heart, the FCC has expedited approval of George Soros purchasing 200 radio stations ahead of the election. First of all, it's unethical and illegal because the FCC has rules. There are laws in the books that do not allow a foreign national or someone with foreign connections to own more than 25% of radio stations or media. Yet, they are allowing this to happen. George Soros is, sadly to say, Hungarian. You know, he's been banned from Hungary and among many other countries because he's been such a scourge on their societies. He's been such a disruptive factor. The reality is he's financed many, many organizations that advocate for speech restriction and censorship. Why would we want to have somebody like that in charge of 200 radio stations? Now, fortunately, I do not believe it'll affect any of the stations I am on, but it certainly could impact future growth in terms of what stations, this show and others like it, messages of truth, my opinion, my perspective. It's just as valid as anyone else's. Why should it be censored? Go throughout human history. I shared this in last week's show a lot. The people on side of censorship were always wrong. There is no exception to that rule. If you are in favor of censorship, you are on the wrong side of the issue. And here's another thing. One of the primary reasons I understand why people vote in favor of Kamala Harris is about abortion. But here's the thing you need to understand. Abortion, the death penalty, and other issues like that are state issues. If you read the Constitution, the federal government has no role in those types of decisions. It's in the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights. It's one sentence. It's not complicated, folks. And it states that the rights of the federal government, the powers of the federal government, it lists them in the there's a list in the Constitution. It's a fairly short list, by the way. It's things like defense, commerce, etc. The Amendment 10 states that anything outside of that short list goes to the states or the people. So the fact of the matter is abortion or death penalty or whatever, it's a state issue. And if you have a problem with the laws in your state, you have two choices. You can work to change those laws in your state or move to a state that you agree with. That's the beauty of the United States of America. You know, our country really is a continent that disguises itself as a country. You take, Europe, for example, which is smaller than the United States in total, and there's 20 plus countries, but they all have different laws and different rules and different societies, customs. We have the same thing in our country. There's vast differences in this country, and that is the diversity that is actually strength, not the color of your skin or your ethnic background. That's total BS. The difference, the strength of diversity is in the different ideas and thoughts and traditions that we have in this country. Alabama is far different than California. New York is far different than Texas. The Midwest, each region has its own culture, if you will. Sometimes even your own dialect. Try to talk to somebody from Boston. Wow, it's hard to understand them sometimes. If you don't like certain rules, like abortion, a very emotional issue, work to have those rules change to your favor or move. If there's 50 sets of rules, this was something I was sharing with somebody recently who we talked about this very issue. And as I stated to her, and she totally agreed. And she was very opposite to me on the spectrum in terms of where abortion could be. She was upset because she felt like states like Alabama had gone too much to restrict abortion. And I said, I tend to agree because I like it personally, exceptions, life of the mother, rape, incest, that kind of stuff. Not everybody does, but that's where I stand personally. I'm generally against abortion, but with exceptions. By the way, that's where Ronald Reagan and Trump both stand. But I also pointed out to her, she lived in Washington State, that Washington is far too liberal in abortion, allows abortion into the third trimester. That's too lenient. It should be somewhere in the middle. And here's the reality, as I stated to her, it doesn't matter where the line is drawn. No matter where you draw the line in terms of whether abortion is legal or not, you're going to have a bunch of people, probably about roughly half the country, upset about that rule, no matter where you lay it. So why not let the states decide? That was the genius of the Constitution and the founders. It's historical. They understood differences of opinion. Look at the original 13 colonies. My gosh, they were different. The North was mostly a lot more focused on manufacturing and shipping, particularly like Massachusetts. The South was much more agrarian, raised cotton, had slaves. Vast differences in terms of their societies, but they worked together against a common enemy at the time, England, for mutual defense and mutual commerce. That's what the Constitution was about. Yet each of the states could otherwise kind of go their own way and do their own thing. That's the problem we have today. We have people in places of power who are trying to make us all the same because they gain more power as a result. How many times have you seen California trying to make Texas be more like California? That's a problem. Texas is not California. If you've ever been there, in those two states, you know the difference. But how many times have you seen Texas try to make California more like Texas? You don't see that very often. And that's the crux of the problem. Texas is far more conservative overall than California. Texans tend to be pretty independent. Heck, they were their own country at one point. They got their independence from Mexico, remember? Before they joined the United States and then left, being part of the Confederate. So they left again, rejoining the Union after the Civil War. Texas has a strong independent streak. Texans appreciate that. They want to be left alone. I can say that about most Americans. We just want to be left alone, live our lives, raise our family, build our business, our career. And you up there in Washington, keep the peace, keep things relatively normal and calm, secure the borders, make commerce fair, and get out of our lives. Yet we have people who are more like from California, Kamala Harris being one of those, who want to impose more government, more rules, more regulations, more control into U.S. citizens' lives. Why? They gain more power and money, benefits themselves. It's that simple. Once people understand that, it opens your eyes. What type of society, what type of leaders do you want to have in the future? Folks that are cramming more government, more regulations, more rules, more restrictions down your throat, making all kinds of promises that many they cannot deliver. Or if you do get benefits, it's a pittance in comparison of what you can do yourself. If we allow the Harris administration, Kamala Harris, again, it's not just her, but it's the 5,000 or so bureaucrats that she'll bring with her that'll run FBI, Department of Homeland Security, the border, the military, the IRS. We're going to get taxed more. The IRS union endorsed her. We're going to have more open borders. We'll probably have another 10 to 20 million illegal aliens in our country in another 4 years. Many parts of this country you will not recognize. If you want that, vote for Kamala Harris. You don't have to like Trump to vote that way, because you're not voting for Trump. What you're voting for is securing the border. You're voting for ending needless wars. Do you want war or not? You know, Zelensky was in Pennsylvania with the governor of Pennsylvania signing bombs that are going to get dropped on Russia. I'm sorry, but that's sick. You want to support those kind of people? And the Harris administration flew him over in a U.S. government plane. Is that the type of leadership you want? Is that the type of direction you want in this country? And look, if you're a young person, let's be real, you might get drafted. Because if a major war breaks out with Russia or something like that, or the Middle East, the possibility is much greater that you could get drafted. I'm past that date. It won't affect me. But you've got to think about it. But what about your kids or your grandkids? You know, what's really important? Are you going to vote for somebody because you dislike the other person, or do you want to stop war? Are you going to vote against somebody because of their personality and you don't like the way they tweet or way they communicate? Or are you going to allow another 320,000 children to be trafficked into this country? And by the way, our U.S. government, Border Patrol, has made those statements. They've allowed 320,000 children into this country. They have no idea where they are. The sad fact is many of them are being sex trafficked. It's the biggest sex traffic operation in history. It's a dirty little secret most people don't want to talk about, but that's incredibly sad. And this current administration is allowing and facilitating that. The cartels, the drug dealers, are making out like bandits. They love this. They're supporting Kamala to the hilt. Is that what you want? You're on the side of the cartels? You're on the side of the drug dealers with the fentanyl and all that? Really? See, I'm on the side of Americans. Look, you can agree with me on a lot of things or not, but I think most of us can agree that safety and security and peace are important things. And I think those are the things that most all of us want. And to give people who have not provided that in leadership positions by giving them a promotion or re-voting them back in for another 4 years, because again, it's not about Kamala or Trump. It is about the 5,000 bureaucrats they bring in. What are they going to do? Because that's where the real power, sadly, is. That's where the real action happens. Yes, the president is like the CEO of a company, of a large company. In fact, the world's largest. But the CEO sets the direction and the tone by who they appoint in the board of directors, in the head of the different departments. Who are the cabinet members going to be? Do you want a Vivek, a JFK, a Tulsi Gabbard, those types of people in a cabinet or in leadership positions? Or the ones we have now that have allowed open borders, allowed two wars to start, continue supporting the current wars, have increased spending beyond any levels we've ever seen, created the highest inflation we've seen in a generation. I'm very concerned about the direction of our country. I'm also hopeful, I'm cautiously optimistic that enough Americans have woken up, see the light, and whether they like Trump or not, that doesn't matter. They're voting for America. They're voting for a place where they can live their lives in peace, where they can walk the street and feel safe, where they don't have to worry about the price of food and gas continuing to go up and up because there's so much government spending and illegal aliens competing for resources like food and housing, and our tax dollars going to support these people, which is increasing the costs for everyone. The differences between the candidates could not be more different on where they stand, where their policies are. You know what Trump's policies are, what our country was like when he was in charge for 4 years. If Trump was going to do all the bad things that the media tries to tell us they were going to do, he would have done it when he was in power for 4 years. And if Kamala was going to do all the things she's promising she's going to do, she would have done it while she was in power for 4 years. And you all know I love quotes and thoughts from the founders. This is one from Samuel Adams. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude, then the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were ever our countrymen. Let's make America great again. That isn't Trump, that is America. As always, stay tuned next week for more great information with Your Personal Bank Show. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust. Financial literacy in America is almost non-existent. It's typically not taught in schools, the media, at work, or in the home. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. If you would like me to speak to your investing group or an organization with a financial focus, please contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. My goal is to increase financial literacy and enhance your financial future. Again, it's 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information.
Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank Show hosted by Ference Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above to the tiniest insects in the soil below, you take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests, and without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love